Hello. Welcome to another episode of A Sip of Crime. Sometimes I speak French. We are your gracious hosts, Mac. And, you know, I got my main man always with me, Noah.
What's going on, everybody?
So, Noah, I'm sure you're aware, like, this month is Mental Awareness Month, right?
Yeah, mental health.
So, it's keen that we touch on this subject a little bit today, like, to make sure, like, everybody's aware, like, mental health affects us in different ways, different parts of life, different aspects. It doesn't matter what we're dealing with, but it always comes at some point in life, right? And we have to be comfortable as a society, as human beings, to talk about it and find a way to cope and deal with it, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you this before we get into this. Like, how do you cope with your mental health?
I think understanding that you're not alone, and there's always like a, obviously it's tough to find sometimes that circle of people, you know, around you. But I think when you find people that have either grown up a similar way or just you guys have a lot in common to the point where you guys feel comfortable sharing things with one another, I think that always helps too.
Right.
You know, and obviously there are certain things that you do want to do on your own, but it's also good to have like a friend there, you know, or it doesn't even have to be like that close of a friend. It doesn't have to be a best friend, but someone that you could just talk to, they hear you out, maybe they talk to you and then you hear them out, et cetera, et cetera. I think that's like one way I like to kind of just surround myself with positive people like yourself. Surround myself with people that aren't going to judge whenever I say something, you know, or I feel like I need to tell them something. I'm not going to judge and, you know, just go from there.
Right. It's important to find people you could be vulnerable around.
Yeah.
Because some people, like, they use your vulnerability as weakness and they don't allow you to grow as an individual rather than just listening to you and trying to figure, not trying to figure out how to help you, but just listening, right?
Yeah.
So, with that being said, you know, there are some flags to look for. And as far as mental health, right? Like, there are people, like, they'll exhibit certain characteristics. Like, you could tell right away, like, there's something going on. And there are people you won't be able to tell at all. It's so below the surface that you're, like, blinded to it, you know? So, this is why it's important. Like, this, the one we're talking about today.
Yeah.
There was so much underlying mental health aspects to it.
Right.
That nobody really paid attention to until it was too late.
Right.
You know? And the person we're talking about today, her name is Matrice LaVon Richardson. What you got for us on Matrice?
So Matrice was born on April 30th in the year 1985. She's local to Covina, California. If you're not familiar with the Los Angeles area, it's more of like the eastern side of the county, like right off the 60 freeway. If you could picture like the 60 and 57 kind of where they interact. I believe that's where like Covina's at. And, you know, she grew up with a mom and a stepdad. I believe her dad was in the picture, but not really super involved. It was more the stepdad. She went to Cal State Fullerton after graduating high school. She got a bachelor's of arts degree in psychology in 2008. And yeah, she was just like, you know, for the most part, like a young, she was black. She also happened to be lesbian. She was open about that. She came out to her parents during college. And, you know, she worked for beauty pageants. She worked at the LGBT script club. She also worked at a forensic psychologist. So she was, like, about her hustle. She was about her grind. She was doing a lot of different things. All those were kind of part-time jobs. She hadn't found something full-time. But, man, she was definitely about, like, her shit. And, you know, I think this one sucks, too, because, you know, she's a psychology major. And at least lately, I feel like a lot of the psychology majors, one, it's an important field. It's a field that definitely I want to be up on more and like understand more about it. But the people that you meet who usually do study psychology, I mean, they're very like very helpful. They understand, like, they can be, you can be vulnerable with them and, you know, no judgment. They're just very helpful, man. I think we're gonna need a lot more psychologists.
Well, fucking, see, there's another side to that too, though.
Yeah.
Like, for those people, who do they have to turn to?
True.
Right. A lot of times, like, we just think because they're psychology majors or they work in a psychology field, like, they always have somebody to turn to, but those people are their colleagues.
Right.
They can't just turn to them, even though they know how important, you know, like, to express yourself, like, stuff like that is. But sometimes they just feel like, all right, like, if I go into them, they'll look at me different.
Right.
Stuff like that. Like, there's, you know. So, I don't know. I'm just playing devil's advocate, you know. But I look up to those people because a lot of the kids that we come in contact with on a day-to-day, they've helped so many of them, especially during this tough time that we're going through right now, you know? So, hats off to them. But yeah, like you said, man, like, her parents, they were married Mm-hmm. And then dad got arrested for a drug bust. Mm-hmm. So mom said, "No, I'm not gonna wait for you no more, man. Like, go do your thing. Like, I'm gonna do my thing."
Yeah.
So yeah, she grew up mostly. She was really close with her great grandma.
Mm-hmm.
Great grandma, like a 95-year-old lady. She was really close to her,
mm-hmm.
and they spent a lot of time together. Like, they were really close to the point where she ended up living with her.
Damn.
You know.
Okay.
So, like, she was trying. She was trying to put herself out there. And grandma was old, so she was trying to help grandma at the same time. Like, mm-hmm. she said, you know, "I'm gonna be there for you, and all you gotta do is give me a place to sleep."
Yeah,
that's it. But as you said, she worked as an assistant for a psychologist, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Like, she was doing her thing.
Yeah,
like, she was grinding. Like, when you talk about grinders,
yeah,
she was grinding like a go-go dancer, uh-huh. at an LGBT club. Like, she was doing her thing, and then comes that beautiful night.
Mm.
I say beautiful in the most satirical way.
Yeah, man. It's tough. September 16th,
mm-hmm.
2009. She's eating at the Jeffrey's restaurant over in Malibu, which is, again, in Los Angeles County. More on the coast side, up the one, PCH. It's a really nice area. If you've never been, definitely recommend you go check it out. And basically, the people who are at that restaurant describe her as having a little bit of bizarre behavior, and she couldn't pay her bill.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what led to all this that we're going to talk about. But basically, she couldn't pay her bill. She was acting a little erratic. And so she got arrested for not paying for the meal, and also because she had possession of less than an ounce of weed. But they still...
Nothing.
That, in California, bro? But it was 2009. I got to remember that, too.
Still nothing.
still nothing, but California was different than it is now.
That's true.
No one getting arrested over...
I mean, technically, nowadays, they consider if you drive under the influence of marijuana, you're intoxicated. They consider that under
yes, the influence. Yes, right. And I don't recommend anybody, you know, get high and drive. But right. It's also really hard to test that, too. You right. know what I mean?
So, yeah. I mean, you're right. Different times. Different mm-hmm. times. So, yeah. So, the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department... And it's important to state that it was in Malibu, Lost Hills Station,
mm-hmm.
right? They went and assessed her condition, and they arrested her. And guess what the charge was? The charge was not paying for a meal.
I didn't even know you can get charged for that.
I mean, I know you can get a ticket for it, but...
But it's less than $100, you know what I mean? Like, that's crazy. Like, she couldn't wash dishes or anything, you know?
You can get a ticket for it.
Right.
Like, you get a fine, and
yeah.
then they recommend you come back and pay that bill mm-hmm. while paying the fine.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get arrested for not paying the bill.
Man, that's crazy. You gotta have credit, yo. Credit. Put it on credit.
Put it on credit.
$90. Come on.
Not even. But grandma called. Grandma called and tried to pay that. She called grandma. Grandma tried to pay, remember, different times.
Yeah.
Tried to pay with a credit card. But because they could not verify that this is such a yeah. grandma... So
she thought they were scamming or something.
Yeah, they couldn't accept the payment. But you're getting paid. Like, why does it matter?
Yeah.
You're getting paid. Tough. You're getting your money. So she could have just went home mm-hmm. and minded her own business instead of us sitting here having this conversation right now.
Yeah.
You know?
But
no, you had to play hero.
Mm-hmm.
To their term, they were playing hero.
Little moments like that, man. It's changing, you know?
Yeah. It's crazy how I applaud technology for its advancement, but at the same time, it's scary.
Yeah.
It's scary. But, okay, so she gets arrested for not paying her bill.
Mm-hmm.
So her car gets towed.
Yes.
Everything is inside her car. Her wallet, her purse.
Keys.
Everything.
Everything. So she has no money. She has no way to contact anybody. But she's at the station, so she should be all right, right?
How far is the station from the restaurant she was arrested from? I mean, when they towed her car.
It was like a little over 10 miles, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, 10 miles.
That's not... You can't walk that.
I don't even want to work on 0.5 miles. Like, let alone... I did that one time. I cried. Let alone walk 10 miles. Like,
10 miles, yep.
Anyways. So... The mother's called, her name is Latrice.
Mm-hmm.
She calls the station and informs them, say, "Hey, like, my daughter suffers from some type of mental yeah. health, you know?" And so the police station says, "All right, like, we're not going to release her until the next day," right? They promised.
Yes.
They wouldn't release her until the next
day. I hate that. It's part of the story, man.
They promised. They released her on September 17th. At 12:28, like, I get it. Technically, it's the next day, But they said they wouldn't release her.
That's BS, though. 12/28, you know that. Even though it's technically next day. Nothing's open. Who is she going to contact?
She has no phone.
No phone.
No car.
No money.
So she couldn't call. Uber didn't exist back then.
No. Taxi. You could even call a taxi.
Because if she couldn't pay an $89 bill, how's she going to pay for a taxi?
All right.
But that's beyond the point. They got a little, you know, a little tricky with it. You know, they...
12/28, man.
12/28.
Why can't they just release her 8 in the morning?
Right?
7.
Wait till mom could come get her.
Yes.
Because mom said she was going to come get her, but she had a baby at home. She couldn't leave.
Yeah.
She had a young baby at home. She wanted to make sure if she left to come get her that you were going to release her. If you're not going to release her, she's not going to waste that drive all the way to Malibu. Because keep in mind, she's in
Covina area. Yeah.
So that's a little drive.
That's 50 minutes.
I mean, even though at night there's no traffic, but still, it's still a drive. Like, especially taking them back ways, it's a drive. So she said, if you guys are not going to release her, there's no point of me wasting my time and leaving my young child at home.
Right.
I could just get her in the morning when she's sobered up, because you guys probably think she's intoxicated. But we go into the next, after she was released, the spokesman, Steve Whitman, he said, Steve Whitmore for LA County Sheriff's Department. He said she was released because she exhibited no signs of mental illness or intoxication.
Right.
She was fine. She's an adult.
She was an adult with no phone, no wallet, no keys, no way of contacting anybody.
First of all, what kind of bullshit is that?
Yeah, it is bullshit. You know what I mean? That's a very... We've had this before, I feel like, with this discussion on other podcasts. But, like, there is just cops being lazy at the end of the day.
Right. You know? And guess who was the head of the sheriff's department at the time?
Who?
The same guy that was the head of the sheriff's department with the Gabriel Fernandez thing. Just saying.
No way.
Just saying. He was the
for real?
Yep. The top sheriff.
That's frustrating, you know?
So, I mean, those cops, they were lazy as well. I mean, you know. So, after she was released, you know, they claimed that they offered her to stay in the lobby. But she declined. Like, who invites somebody to stay in the lobby? Like, if I can go home, if you're telling me to go home, I'm not going to stay in the police station.
Police stations aren't very welcoming. I didn't even know they had a lobby, first of all. It's probably like 2 chairs. They got like one old magazine from 2003. And we're like, oh yeah, this is our lobby.
The lobby, right. But funny enough, though, like, they released her. They didn't call a cab for her. They didn't escort her to her car. None of it. But I found out that Mel Gibson was arrested at that same station.
Mel Gibson?
Mel fucking Gibson.
Damn, okay.
That was the night he made his anti-Semitic
rap. Oh, yeah?
That night. It was that night. And guess what happened? Those cops took him to his car, made sure he got home safe, all of that.
Damn.
But they couldn't do that. But why?
Was it because he was Mel Gibson, or was it because he was white?
Both. Both. I say both.
Yeah.
It's Mel Gibson, Lethal Weapon, you know, like, that's Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
California is Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
But a young black woman, 24-year-old young black woman, and doesn't seem, to you guys, she doesn't seem intoxicated. She's exhibited no signs of mental illness. All you could have done is offer her a ride. Instead of offering her to stay in the lobby, offer her a ride to her vehicle.
Bro, how hard is that?
Like, especially since you guys got her car towed.
Yeah.
She probably would have been fine once she got there. But no. That's, to me, that's a red flag right there. But
for the sheriff's department as a whole, you know?
Right. So,
it's crazy, man. It's, and I think what the craziest thing too is, we're just going off of their hearsay. Like you said, the statement said that there was no signs of mental illness or intoxication, but who's giving those tests? Was it a really quick test? They looked, peeked in the room, didn't even really say anything to her, and they're just like, nah, she doesn't look like it. Let's release her. You know, and it could be something like that. I don't want to assume, but I'm just saying that's a possibility. And obviously, you know, being that it's Mental Health Awareness Month, and her, what is it? Was her mother saying that she does suffer from bipolar disorder at times? So it sucks. I think a lot of police officers across the country aren't really well versed in psychology and understand different disorders and how they should interact with different people. And we see a lot of times the end result of that because they're very negligent or don't know about this, that, or the other. So it's another case of it, and obviously, like, it sucks because if they were just more aware of it, maybe gave her more time or understood what she was maybe going through, mm-hmm. some of her background history and everything, you know, this whole situation could have been avoided.
Right. And even though, like, I've listened to the 911 call that was made by the hostess at Joffrey's. Mm-hmm. She claims she was like, this young lady wasn't able to pay her bill, blah, blah, blah. And then so when the cop showed up, the cop claimed that they took her because they were doing it for her own protection. Mm-hmm. Right. Which makes sense. If you're trying to protect somebody from themselves, you arrest them. Mm-hmm. That, I get that.
Yeah.
You don't. It's not a charge, but you arrest them just to protect them from themselves, put them in a safe space.
Yeah.
But releasing them at 12 o'clock in the morning when you arrested them for their own safety, that does not cut it. Mm-hmm. At that point, you're pretty much contradicting yourself.
Right.
You know, it's like saying, hey, no, I'm going to give you $1 million, but then I'm going to punch you 1 million times in the face first. Right? Yeah, so what's the point of that?
Like, yeah.
It's either I give you one or the other. Right. But so basically he said he was protecting her, but he wasn't really trying to protect her. He was just like, all right.
It was a front.
Yeah. Yeah. We did it to protect her. That's after the fact. Mm-hmm. After what happens, which we're going to get into later. But after the fact, he claims that, you know, he was doing it to protect her. Mm-hmm. But what happens wouldn't have happened.
Exactly. So just to continue on with the story, you know, that was the last time she was. Well, it was the second to last time she was seen. She was seen earlier or later that morning at 6:30 in the morning. She was in the backyard of actually a KTLA news anchor. His name was Bill Smith. Such a generic white name.
I know. It sounds made up to me.
It does, right? But I'm sure, you know what? I've always wondered that because, like, there's one weatherman who's like, his name is Dallas Rains. And I'm just like, you just
happen. He changed his name.
I was going to say, you just happen to be a weatherman. Your last name
sounds
is Rains.
Sounds like a porn star name.
It kind of does, but it also sounds like a weatherman name, too. You know?
Sounds like a porn star. Dallas Rains. Come on, bro.
Anyways, Bill Smith did see her at 6:30 a.m. in his backyard, and he said, or she said, that she was resting, mm-hmm. and the cops were called, according to Bill Smith, and, you know, in order to help this woman get to where she was supposed to go. I don't know how long the interaction, there wasn't much details about that, but mm-hmm. they did say that Bill Smith saw her. She said that she was resting, and the cops were called. But obviously she took off during that time, and basically since then, you know, she was missing. She hadn't been found until many, many, many months later.
Yeah, so 4 months later, January 9, 2010, after she was reported, the LA Sheriff's Department conducted one of the large-scale searches in history. That's what they call it, the one of the largest-scale searches in history. Mm-hmm. They had 300 volunteers to search the 18 square miles of the Malibu Canyon. Mm-hmm. This gentleman, his name was Maurice Dubois, father of slain Encedido, California teen Amber Dubois, assisted in the search. I'm not too familiar with that story, but I wanted to do a little more research onto that one. Mm-hmm. So eventually, like, I think that might be one of the ones we do, because mm-hmm. that one sounds like one of those ones that needs to be brought
yeah.
to light.
Highlighted, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So there were so many people who were looking. You know, there was some offensive sexual graffiti that was painted on the walls mm-hmm. and stuff. So,
but still nobody.
Nobody.
Still couldn't find anybody in all of Malibu Canyon. I've never been out to Malibu Canyon, but from what I heard, it's a very big, vast area.
It's almost like Vegas desert area, like yeah. driving that way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've seen pictures. I've never been, but I've seen pictures. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to get to the sad part of the story, guys. And again, disclaimer. Sorry.
All the disclaimers.
This is tough. It's really tough. But so her body was found mm-hmm. Naked, mummified, and it was near a 21-acre ranch that is known for producing pornography. Mm-hmm. It was very secluded and has very different access to the creek bed. That's where her body was found, on the creek bed. Mm-hmm. That's tough.
That is tough. And the only reason they found her is because in that same month, August of 2010, they were doing a marijuana farm raid, right? And so mm-hmm. they did like a flyover. They saw that there was like, you know, a plot of land that someone grew marijuana, obviously against, you know, without a permit and shit. So they were going to take it out, and then they happened to stumble across her body on the creek bed, which was nearby. But that's, I mean, if they never busted, did that marijuana bust, then they would have never found her. Or, you know, it might have been longer until they did find her. But
right.
It's just kind of funny. Not funny, but I guess it's a little coincidental how that worked out, you know?
But it's crazy, though. Before we get deeper into this one, like, I thought it was important, like, how there were so many different sightings of her. Mm-hmm. Like, they claimed that they saw her in Vegas twice. Her dad said he saw her in Vegas. Oof. He said he was in Vegas and he saw her. So he spent most of his time in Vegas. And then another friend said, friend of hers was in Vegas, said he saw her, walked up to her, but she ran away. So that ended up getting the investigation that way. So that kind of took time away from them discovering the body, too.
Yeah, that's, you know, true. Yeah.
So, man, to be, first off, she was found naked, and there were claims that animals did it, da da da. But animals do not undress human beings the way she was undressed.
And she was mummified, like you said, too.
Yeah. So there's no way in hell an animal could do all that. Like,
this is like the most high tech advanced animal, and we should be scared of.
Right, because from what I understand too, like animals when they take a body, mm-hmm. drag it downhill, not uphill. Her body was found uphill on top of the creek bed. So that doesn't add up whatsoever. Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't know, but we'll get to that in a second. Mm-hmm. So when the body was discovered, the detectives, against the coroner's wishes, decided to move it.
Right
They moved the body, which anytime there's a crime scene, you're not supposed to touch anything.
That's why they put all the fucking tape and everything, you right? know?
Tape, little markers, mm-hmm. little things they find, like, mm-hmm. so that way, like, things are as they are.
Because the original time you find and discover something like that, that's going to have the most clues. Mm-hmm. As soon as you start messing around, even if it was, like, a muddy area because it was a creek bed, as soon as you put another shoe print in that area, you're just fucking everything up, mm-hmm. you know? And it's just ruining, I want to say it's ruining evidence, but it's ruining at least, like, a chance to build some evidence.
Right.
You know?
So, because they did that, they took a shitty-ass picture on their camera phone. Remember, 2009, 2010.
Yeah, those were, like, I think in 2009.
They had the Nokias.
No, they had
Slivers.
I mean, iPhones weren't a thing. The Razors. I don't think people had iPhones as much.
I had an iPhone, but it was, like, the first generation.
Yeah.
That was the only one that was available at the time.
2009, I want to say I had the Envy, the one that you slide up and had the keyboard underneath.
Unless they had a Sidekick.
Yeah, ooh, Sidekick. That's like 2006, though.
No, they had them in 2010, too.
They do, yeah, they did.
It was the, like, D-Wade collabos.
Peak pop, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I'm old. Yeah. But long story short, man, like, they took a shitty-ass picture on their phone. Mm-hmm. So when the coroner came in, they couldn't really, you know, do much, mm-hmm. because the body had already been moved. So technically, like, they're starting not just only from ground zero, but negative 50. Mm. Right? Because, like, the chance of finding certain evidences, certain things that correlate with what could have happened, mm-hmm. is gone because the body was moved.
Yeah.
It wasn't in its original position.
Right.
So because of that, like, they couldn't do a proper examination.
Exactly. Like that. You can't scope out the area. Right. Context clues.
Right. So, because they did that, so after that, they reported, there were some residents who reported screams around the time that she disappeared, mm-hmm. from that ranch. Right? I mean, I'm not saying nothing. I don't know what happened. And then, but they said it wasn't a homicide. There was no signs of foul play.
Yeah.
But yet she was naked, mummified. Residents said there were screams. I say when there's smoke, there's
fire.
So I'm just saying.
So someone's a liar.
Someone's lying, or somebody's covering something up.
Someone's pants are on fire.
Right.
That's what you're trying to say, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, it at some point, like, something had to add up.
Yeah.
Because, one, she's naked, found close to a pornography site. Mm-hmm. And then mummified, mm-hmm. and no foul play, no, and then they heard screams, like, all of that. Something, it adds up to something to me. Mm-hmm. But well, I'll ask you that question at the end, because I have a question for you.
Okay.
I'm saving it to the end, because okay. I feel like this one's intense.
Yeah.
So, because they claim there was no foul play, they couldn't really investigate much, right? So the family decided to do what?
Lawsuit.
Yep.
Hit him with the lawsuit. Hit him where it hurts, and the money.
Right. And that's how the sheriffs get elected. That's how everything gets done. So if you take the money out of their pocket, they can't run again, right?
Yes.
So how much did they get, do you know?
They got $450,000, the parents did, for Matrice Richardson. And I believe, yeah, there just wasn't enough evidence. I mean, I remember looking at the Attorney General at the time, Kamala Harris, who's now our vice president. Mm-hmm. She said, you know, there was no evidence to prove that there was any mishandling from that sheriff's department of Los Angeles. And she initially made that statement in November 2015. They did reopen it in 2016. Took the whole year, and basically in December said there was still insufficient evidence for prosecution of reopening this case. So obviously they couldn't go any further with it. But the parents did get $450,000, and it's worth mentioning that. Yeah.
Right. So before we go, that part I don't even want to talk about anymore, because the reopening the investigation, because I feel like cops investigating cops. When we talked about like the whole Breonna Taylor aspect, cops investigating cops is always a dead end.
Yeah, it's never
always
pretty.
A dead end. So yeah. I'm not even gonna touch that subject. Because I feel like we could beat that horse with a stick as much as we want to. Hell, it's not going to go nowhere. No. But her girlfriend, Tessa Moon, claimed that she did not suffer from mental Matrice did not suffer from
mental illness, right?
Right? So to me that raises a question, because there was some Instagram post that she posted. I mean, not Instagram, Facebook post that she posted that, oh, I'm gonna go do this. She told, when the day she left to go to Joffrey, she told her grandma she's gonna go check out the water. Like there were so many things that was said that were signs, right? But the thing that contradicted Whitmore. I don't even know why I want to call him Whitman. Whitmore, when he said that she showed no signs of like mental illness, right? But yet somebody came out and contradicted and said that she showed a severe bipolar disorder.
Right.
Like, how can you show a severe bipolar disorder if you don't have mental illness?
Right.
That's a form of mental illness.
Mm-hmm. Everything's fishy about this. I mean, that's the thing too. Like, the parents said one thing, the police said another thing, the girlfriend says another thing. I think still out above those two people that said that she doesn't suffer from mental illness, and the girlfriend and the police department that supposedly quote-unquote looked into her, I would definitely trust the parents, the family more, you know, because obviously they lived with her, they grew up with her. Mm-hmm. But it definitely seems like something was either fishy about that, or, you know, maybe she wasn't, I don't know how bipolar disorder works, but maybe that she only shows it some of the time, and she maybe never just showed that side around her girlfriend. You know, so she never was able to see something like that, and they just never had that conversation. It didn't say how long her and Tessa Moon dated, but I mean, that's something I'm sure I would be a little hesitant to bring up, you know, in the first month or so. It'd be like, right. Hey, as we get more serious, guess what? I'm going through this, so just, you know, keep a head, you know, eye open, you know?
Yeah, because she was like, she fabricated this whole relationship with somebody else too while she was in a relationship with Tessa.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like one of those things, like where the person came on and said, hey, like, I don't see you like that. Like, you're cool and all, but I don't see you like that. I see you more as a friend, you know. But in her mind, she's in a relationship with that person while she's in a relationship with Tessa.
Yeah.
If that doesn't state like mental illness, I don't know what does. Like, everybody else was aware of this because she posted it on Facebook. It was like there for everybody to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't like something that was just like, oh, damn, she was. I didn't know. No, it's there.
Yeah.
Like, everybody knew. So here's my question to you, okay? Who do you think did it?
Who do I think did it?
I'm only asking this because all the evidence to me point one way.
It has to be someone from the sheriff's department, right? I mean, just from what I've seen, you know, because the sheriff's department, they let her out early. They knew she didn't have anything. Look, there's a lot of greedy. And I don't even, like, limit it to just men, but there's a lot of, like, people who want to take advantage of others. Right. There's people out there, men or women, doesn't matter the age group, doesn't matter the demographic or ethnicity, they're just going to want to take advantage of other people who are in helpless situations. And I think they kind of knew the area. They understood they could get away with this, that, and the other. And I think it was someone from the sheriff's department. But who you got?
I got the people from the porn site. Reason I say that is because, keep in mind, at that time, porn was making a lot of money.
Isn't it still making a lot of money?
It is, but not as much as it was back then.
Yeah.
I mean, from the 1960s to now, there's a big gap difference, right?
Yeah.
So porn was like where they had the theaters in the corner of every other corner next to a liquor store. Like, you remember those?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how big porn was back then.
Right.
But now we don't have those. Whatever.
We got the internet.
Right. Everybody's on the internet. Right. So all I'm saying is, this is just my personal opinion. Somebody on that site did it, and the cops knew about it. They covered it up. And in order for them to fully cover it up, they moved the body. That's just my personal opinion.
Makes sense, yeah.
My personal opinion.
Yeah. That's fishy. And that does add up. The fact. But I think if the people who filmed the pornography in that land, don't you think they put them like further away, you know? Like, not make it so obvious?
They're usually on drugs.
Mm.
But here's another... another thing that's been roaming in my head since doing this research, right?
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is just my perspective, guys, my point of view, my own crazy psychological mind.
Mm-hmm.
What if, and I mean what if, there's a video of everything that happened to her out there on the black market, on the black dark web?
You think so?
It won't shock me.
Yeah.
I've heard worse.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard worse. So what if there's a video of her on the dark web? And, you know, there are people who are probably listen to the story and
I feel like it would have surfaced already. People were really good, especially this was 10 years ago.
But this story was known, but it wasn't really well known.
You're right. It's not super well known. But I feel like, I mean, dude, I've been on Twitter and I've seen people like ISIS was cutting off heads on Twitter. Like,
see, that's different.
Like a couple years ago, you know? Yeah. It is different, you're right. It's something completely different, but I'm sure that wasn't something that was meant to be posted on Twitter.
Right.
Something from the dark web, and they just screen recorded and then threw it on Twitter, and it was like, whoa, like,
right,
that was a lot, you know? But
because if they did that, they'd technically be exposing themselves.
Right.
Because they'd be like saying, hey, I belong to the dark web.
Right, right.
But, you know, like, I don't know how the dark web works.
Neither do I.
I don't at all, but I'm just saying.
All I know is people play with Bitcoin, so.
All I know is they fucking crooks. Yeah. That's all I know. But it's just a thought, like, you know, because there are so many things, especially, like, if it's, some people are into the sadomasochistic things, like, you know, they probably, like, wanted to do, like, real life torture when the person wasn't really consenting and just wanted to just do it and then record it, and then it went a little too far.
Yeah.
And then, you know, she died.
But then you think you would ever release that video then if you're the pornography company or site?
You wouldn't release it, but somebody could get their hands on it and probably post it on the dark web.
That's a lot of guilt to live with, man.
That is.
Yeah.
But it's just my personal opinion.
That person's probably, like, you know, whoever was a part of that, they probably OD'd. Trying to live with all that guilt, you know?
Probably.
That's a fucking lot of guilt.
That's a lot of fucking guilt, you know?
Jeez.
But, hey, it's one of those tough things, man. Like, we as society, we have to start looking for the small things.
Mm-hmm.
The small things. It doesn't have to be big. Somebody doesn't blatantly have to walk up to you and say, hey, I have mental illness. Like,
yeah.
Treat me different. No. Like, people don't know how to talk to you about their mental illness because they don't know how you would react to it, you know?
Right.
So it's up to us, like, to look at certain little things. Like, for example, for us working with kids, especially during the tough times, like, we notice certain behavioral aspects, right?
Mm-hmm.
We find out throughout our trainings that behavior is language.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime somebody's acting out, they're speaking to us.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that's how they know how to speak to us.
Right.
You know, so we have to look at it and be like, okay, how do we approach this?
How do we decipher it? Yeah.
Right. And then we're like, all right, hey, you want to talk? Just take a walk.
Mm-hmm.
Take a walk around the perimeters and then talk to them, find out what's going on. And then eventually you find out that there's something deeper underlying that, you know, that needs to be addressed. But if we don't pay attention to the small details, then how the fuck are we gonna know?
Right.
You know, so we have to look, man. Have to look. Sometimes it's deeper than the surface.
100%. It's always, like you said, people aren't just gonna want to wear a name tag saying, hey, I have this, this, and that.
Right. My name is Jeff. I have.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, so it's something that obviously you have to get to know people. But I think, too, we could also incorporate it, you know, I mean, I don't know how early you would teach it, but just definitely like a regular public education systems and just kind of give, and it doesn't have to be like super in-depth, but just basic crash courses on what this is, you know, especially when kids have that amongst their peers, you can better treat those people. You know, I think a lot of times when I was a kid, I didn't really understand any of that. And so when you did meet the kids who were, you know, were on the spectrum or had something, you know, that they were going through, I didn't really know how to interact with them, or I didn't know what to expect, and I kind of just shied away from them because it was like, whoa, you know, I don't know what that means, you know?
Right. And mental illness comes in many shapes and forms, guys. Mm-hmm. It could be depression. Depression is a mental illness, mm-hmm. you know? So, like, I have kids who suffer from depression because of their current living situations. Mm-hmm. So what I found that helped a little bit was, I don't know if you heard about them, but those Burn After You Write books.
Burn books, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I bought a few of them, and I started giving them out to them whenever I noticed certain things. I'm like, hey, start writing into it. And the results have been pretty steady.
That's good.
Tell me, yeah, I write in it when I need to. You know, like when I feel like I'm having a really bad day, mm-hmm. like I'll write into it. And then we'll talk. We won't discuss what they wrote in there, mm-hmm. but we'll talk. Right, yeah. Because like that's our way of keeping in touch, making sure they're maintaining their sanity. Because keep in mind, these are young kids. So like when you ask, like, you don't know what the proper age is, mm-hmm. I think the earlier the better.
Yeah.
Start teaching them about their mental health early. Mm-hmm. So later, when they hit like our age, man, like they're able to be like comfortable. So
they're well versed in that shit, you
right?
Know?
So they're yeah. able to have a conversation with somebody and be like, "Yeah, man, like when I was younger, I figured out." All right, it wasn't that's like, "Oh, when I was in my 20s, when mm-hmm. I was younger, I figured out that I was suffering from this, mm-hmm. and this is the steps that I took to better help myself mm-hmm. and help the people around me understand."
Yeah,
you know. So, Matrice, she didn't stand a chance. Because at that time, everybody was judgmental at that time, to mm-hmm. be honest. And it was a tough time. Because I graduated in 2009. Mm-hmm. So I know what the year 2009 was like. It was a tough year. It was like a year and a half after Anthrax, the year after the Joker, the fake Joker shooter. Like,
yeah.
all that was happening around that time. There was so much going on at that time. Mm-hmm. That's probably why she didn't get enough coverage.
It was a year after the recession, too. Mm-hmm. People forget about that.
Right. So that's probably why she didn't get enough coverage.
Yeah.
You know?
There's
so much going on underlying, bro. We just have to.
And you can say this one's pretty local. I mean, she went to Cal State Fullerton.
Right there.
Yeah, Covina's like less than an hour away with no traffic from here, you mm-hmm. know? So it's a tough one, man. It's a tough one. It hits home a little bit.
It does. And for those of you who still go to Cal State Fullerton, you probably, you know, had a professor who was her professor.
Yeah, 100%, right? Especially if you're a psychology major.
Just saying.
Hoo-wee.
You know what's crazy? It won't surprise me if my supervisor
was a classmate.
Was a classmate.
Yeah.
It won't surprise me.
Or at least passed her in the hallway. You know what I mean? Didn't even know about it.
At least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's deep. Well.
But before we end up.
Yeah.
Long story short, after everything, her body was found and everything. They went through her car. She had over $3,000 in her car. Just saying. Oh, $3,000 in cash in her car. That all the cops had to do was check her car.
That doesn't help. Why did she pay the $89 bill?
She didn't have her wallet on her. It was in the car.
It was in the car. Oh, and they didn't believe her.
Yeah. So all they had to do was check her car because she told them to check the car. And she could have paid. But that's long story short.
That almost makes me mad. Why did we say that to the end?
I had to.
That sucks.
It sucks, but because it goes to show the mediocre, mm-hmm. right? The mediocreness, like, they didn't really do a thorough investigation. They didn't try to help her.
And this is why we drink wine.
Yes.
But I'd be very angry if I wasn't.
Yes. So with that being said.
Yeah.
What you got for the folks, Noah?
Man, be sure to like, follow, subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you're listening on, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, all that good stuff. Shout out to True 100 Radio for having us on their platform. You can go check them out at TRU, the #100radio.com. And shout out to Jewel Santana. Not only did she set up and design the new Super Crime logo, but she also did recommend this Matrice Richardson story. So again, much love to you, Jules. Keep doing your thing. I like that you're doing Find Me Hot podcast. Keep up your hard work, and
hey, let us know when you need a when you need a special guest on there, Jules. Yeah. We appreciate you for all the work that you do, for sure. Cause hey, you got us rocking. We're gonna get you rocking. Let's put it like that. You scratch our back, we'll bring a, I don't know if we're going to scratch your back too, but we're going to bring a massage gun for you. You go massage, we're going to get you going. Let's put it like that. Mm-hmm. We go the extra mile. But with that being said, man, you guys stay safe out there. If you aren't vaccinated, hey, I'm not saying do it, but do it.
Look at the research, man. You know, that's what I'll say. Because I was pretty skeptical about it too early on. And you know, there's a lot of podcasts. I don't really like reading things as much, but you can listen to a lot of stuff.
Right.
Watch a lot of things, I'm sure, on YouTube, too, that kind of verifies the information.
Right. So make sure, you know, because everything's, according to the notification I got on Friday, everything's going to be opening back up on the 15th of June. Mm-hmm. From what I got so far, that's the date that they released.
California,
to me,
too.
California.
Right.
100% open. So I'm just saying, if you want to make sure your health and you want to protect yourself, wash your hands, wear your mask, get vaccinated, wash your ass, wash your legs for Noah.
Yes.
And let's stay safe out there, man. We out.
Peace.